Okay. If you'll turn in your Bibles to the book of Galatians, chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, we'll be looking at verses 7 and 8 today. I'm told that the AM radio is working well this morning. 1600 on your dial if you want to use the radio. That might help if some of you are having difficulty hearing this morning. I'll try to talk directly into the microphone where you can better hear, but as I turn from side to side, it may go in and out a little bit, but I beg your patience as we try to make it available for everyone. Let's read verses 7 and 8, Galatians chapter 6. I'll be reading from the New American Standard Version. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh shall from his flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit shall from the Spirit reap eternal life. I think most of us are quite familiar with this text, but I thought it would be beneficial for us today to consider this passage and examine it a little bit closer, and hopefully make application to our lives so that we can live the kind of lives that God would have us to live. I can't continue without this, again, thanking everyone for being here today. We've been going through some difficult times with this virus. I know some of you, as far as jobs are concerned, that's been difficult. Just the social distancing that is required, that's been difficult for many folks. Us not being able to assemble together in the building and to be able to encourage each other and be together. I think all of us are realizing the importance now of that social aspect or that encouraging aspect of being together and being able to shake hands and hug each other and so forth. It's very, very important in our lives as Christians. But it is a beautiful day, and to God we are thankful for that. Beautiful blue skies, the temperature not too bad, and we're able to be here and be of good health and strength. And for that, we are extremely thankful. When we look at the idea of sowing and reaping, there is a positive and a negative to this passage. The book of Hosea, chapter 8 and verse 7, the idea is expressed that if you sow the wind, you will reap the whirlwind. There is a consequence to our deeds. Paul talked about in 2 Corinthians about if you sow bountifully, you shall reap bountifully. Well, this morning we're going to talk about a positive and a negative aspect of sowing and reaping. He begins in the text in verse 7 by saying, "Do not be deceived." This expression is used many, many times in the Bible. Why do you think this is mentioned so many times in Scripture? Why has God said to us so many times, do not be deceived? Well, because we're very capable of being deceived. Now, you may not think of yourself that way. You may think that you are not gullible, that you are not naive, that you are very alert and very aware of things. But even the best of us all are capable of being deceived. The devil deceived Eve from the very get-go in the garden. And thereafter, God has continually warned in the Scriptures, do not be deceived. So let's just begin with this. If you will, please learn this one very valuable lesson today. I don't care who you are, you can be deceived. So that means we've got to pay attention. The idea of deceived means to be led astray. to go astray, or to wander. Sometimes this expression is used in regards to sheep. They wander. Maybe it's not your intention. Maybe you have no predetermined plan to wander, but you do. The devil is the great deceiver. Sin is deceptive. The devil promises us great things, but he is the great deceiver. And while sin has its allurement, it does not give you what is promised, ever. Oh, there may be pleasure for a season, but it doesn't last. We can be deceived into thinking that we can sow one thing and reap another. My guess is many of you are, if you haven't already, are getting ready to plant gardens. Whatever you plant, if you plant corn, if you plant green beans, you expect to reap corn and green beans. But in the spiritual realm, this is where we're deceived. We're deceived in that we plant worldliness and we expect a spiritual good result. I don't know that anybody's ever come out and said that. But that's the way we live our lives many times. And maybe we're even unaware that we're doing that. That's where it becomes even a greater deception. Did you notice the text says God is not mocked? The word mock just means to ridicule, to mimic in sport. It's contempt. You know, God knows our very intentions. Now, I doubt that there's anyone listening to this lesson today that doubts that. God knows our intentions, right? God knows our hearts. Throughout the Scriptures, the Word of God says, "Behold, I know your thoughts." One day, we shall bow and humbly submit to our God as we confess Jesus Christ, and we will be judged for all that we've ever said, done, or thought. God knows us completely. So here's the play of deception. We're tempted by something. We think we can participate in this and it's not going to affect me. No one will ever know. I'll get by with it. I'll fool everyone. But you don't fool God. God is not mocked. So when we are deceived into thinking that we can sow one thing and reap another, we are also guilty of thinking that we can mock God. You remember growing up, your parents would tell you to do something or not do something? Was it not a challenge, just as a child, to see if you could get away with it? And there's a certain amount of thrill, is it not? When someone says, you can't do that. Is there not something in us that gives us a little extra thrill? That we try to do what we're told we can't do or not supposed to do? You're on a highway. And you're really speeding. and you think you're getting away with it. And all of a sudden, you see a cop. What's the first thing you do? You slam on the brakes, right? You try to slow down. You hope he hadn't seen you. When you're passing by and you look in the rearview mirror for a few moments, and you see that he's not going to come after you, the blue lights are not on, then you go, "Whew, I sure fooled him. He didn't catch me." Don't you feel relieved after that? But you still were speeding, weren't you? Did you get away with it? Did you really? Have you deceived yourself into thinking that you really got away with it? God is not mocked. Don't be deceived into thinking that you can get away with it. Well, notice in the text he talks about the idea of whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For if you sow to your own flesh, you shall from the flesh reap corruption. If you back up to the previous chapter, chapter 5, I think most of us are very familiar with the text, where Paul discusses the works of the flesh. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19, he says, "The deeds of the flesh are evident, which are..." And he lists a whole number of things. He says in verse 21, "I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things should not inherit the kingdom of God." That is a tremendous "thou shalt not." Most of us, we really do appreciate, we really do want black and white guidelines. There's no telling how many times I've been asked, you've been asked, "How are we supposed to worship during this pandemic? What is the right way to do it?" Well, there's been lots of ways attempted. There are certainly guidelines that God gives us in His Word. There are specific things that we must do and should do. But there are areas of judgment as well. Trying to make a decision about what is best and what is right, not violating your conscience, using good judgment, being wise. Probably 6 months from now, a year from now, we're going to look back and say, "Well, we probably shouldn't have done that." Or we look back and say, "You know what? You know, we did the right thing then." Here in this text, Paul talks specifically black and white. But how many of us still are deceived and we are convinced that God didn't see us and we've committed these acts? That is proof alone that we are easily deceived. May I also suggest to us that sowing to the flesh, in another expression, is loving the world. That's one and the same thing. And we've talked about that in our studies in 1 John, 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. We sow today, we reap tomorrow. We will reap what we sow. So if we sow to the flesh in the home, just some practical examples. A husband not loving his wife. Now that may not be immediate harvest, but if a husband continues to not love his wife, he is sowing evil, and there will come a harvest. There will come a time when he violates God's law, his commandment, husbands, love your wives. There will be a harvest that will come. Problems, maybe even divorce. Wives not submitting to their husbands equally, is this devastating. And when we try to use social norms or, you know, what is politically correct, and we want to get away from saying even such vulgar language as wives are supposed to submit to their husbands, and we try to justify it, call it by something else, or just simply deny it, not even try to accomplish that, what do you think you're doing? You're deceiving yourselves into thinking that you can be rebellious to your husbands and there's not going to be a harvest that will come from that. You're deceived and you're mocking God. Parents, teaching your children. Children, obeying your parents. How many times as parents have we laughed at, not considered it significant or serious or that important or that big a deal? When our children disobey us, tell us no. Do the opposite of what we ask them to do. Have you really convinced yourself that that won't be a problem? Any law of God, when violated, there will be a harvest. When we talk about the church, allowing sin to remain in the camp is sowing to the flesh. There will be a harvest. Fussing and fighting among Christians in the Lord's body, there will be a harvest. God is not mocked. He tells us to speak the same thing, to practice the same thing for a reason. Because that's sowing to the Spirit. When we refuse to teach others the gospel, oh yes, we all agree, the lost, they need to hear the gospel. But who's going to do it? Is it my job? Is it your job? If we continually spurn the admonition that God has given us to teach others the truth, will there come a harvest day? There has already come a harvest day in many churches throughout this land. Brethren who have made excuse, I don't know enough, I can't really teach, I'm afraid I'll say the wrong thing, etc., etc., etc. What harvest has come from that planting or sowing to the flesh? Churches are dying. Churches are dying. Now, that's not the only reason churches die. But in so many places, that is the reason. You don't harvest a big crop when you don't plant the seed. Equally, I think we deceive ourselves when we're talking about worship. I've heard many of you say that it's been very difficult to feel like we're truly worshiping God when we've been in our homes and we watched it on live stream or YouTube or even sitting in the parking lot. And I agree, brethren. It's difficult. It's a struggle. You have your kids at home and they want to run around because they're home. That's not church to them. It's hard to teach them and to encourage them to sit down and to be respectful and reverent. And I've mentioned to us that you know, if you're still at home and you're still worshiping the Lord, and this is the best way that you can, and because of health concerns and so forth, you're probably going to have to get out of your pajamas. And you're going to have to really, not only for yourself, but for your children, to show them that what you're about to do is something that is very, very important. Whether you're in your car, you're in your living room, or you're under a shade tree, when it's time to worship God, we need to be reverent and respectful, and we need to teach our children the importance of that. Do you think that you can sow to the flesh and your children not appreciate or respect or give honor to God in worship, and they're playing and fooling around? You don't think that that will reap the whirlwind of harvest? You are deceived. And God will not be mocked. Preparing for worship is something we don't talk a lot about. As a teacher, and many of you are teachers, Mondays and Fridays are the worst day of school. Monday, kids come in and they're dead. They don't want to do anything because of the weekend. Friday, they're all wound up because the weekend is coming, and they're wild as they can be. Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday seems to be the best day to teach, at least in my experience. Did you know many times that we use the weekends to do what we do and have fun, and many of you work hard, you work extra jobs, and you're just flat worn out from working long hours and many, many days. And when it comes to the Lord's Day and it's time to worship, we're so tired, we're so worn out, we've stayed up so late, we've partied so long, our kids are just worn out because they've just gone and gone and gone and gone and gone. And when it comes to the Lord's Day, isn't the Lord's Day always the best day to sleep? Isn't the Lord's Day the best day to rest? Well, after all, we think of the Lord's Day. Well, this is the only day I've got to rest. This is the only day I get off. And we're just so not prepared to really worship God mentally, physically, emotionally. Have you deceived yourself into thinking that you can come and worship God on His day and just give Him whatever you've got, however little it is, and it doesn't really matter? Is that what you have deceived yourself into believing? God is not mocked. God will not be mocked. But there's a positive side, a beautiful positive side in this great text. But the one who sows to the Spirit shall from the Spirit reap eternal life. Sowing to the Spirit. Again, back up in chapter 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. About every time I ever read this passage or mention this passage, I will read it and pass through it as quickly as I just did right then. And love, joy, peace, patience, those words just kind of just all come together and just kind of crammed in together. Maybe another day, we'll take the time to look at those beautiful words. Because each of those words are things that are from the Spirit. If you've been studying along in our studies with 1 John chapter 4, we learned just recently that John says God is love. God is love. Later in that same text, he says, I would not know love. I didn't love first. We didn't even know how to love. But God is love. It's the very essence of who He is. And He very selflessly, He gave His Son for us. That is the ultimate of definition of love. Well, the fruit of the Spirit, when you sow the Spirit, what do you reap? Well, you reap this character of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Does that sound like you? Is that the kind of person that we are? Now, maybe from time to time we show a little love, and maybe from time to time a little joy creeps through. Maybe at times we have a little patience, not much. Kindness and goodness. And maybe we've all deceived ourselves into thinking that, yeah, I'm all those things. I'm a good person. I do all of those things. And I pray that you are. But don't be deceived into thinking that you are, because God is not mocked. On the positive side, if there was ever a passage that would demonstrate to us about knowing who we really are and what we really are, it would be this passage. What do I mean by that? If you're helping the sick, the poor, the needy, you're using your time and your talents and your money according to God's Word, and you're sowing to the Spirit, the fruit of the harvest that you've been sowing will be eternal life. Don't we all know what we've really been sowing? I would encourage you this Lord's Day to look deep into your own heart. It's a beautiful day. Thank God for these beautiful blue skies. Sitting here in this parking lot and worshiping the Lord and seeing these beautiful blue skies and the sunlight, you wouldn't think that there's a problem in the world. But we live in a very sick and perverse world. There's not only physical disease, but there is spiritual disease rampant. We may not have the virus, brethren, but we do have the virus of sin. For we all sin and fall short of the glory of God. And the reason for that is what we've been planting. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh shall from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit shall from the Spirit reap eternal life. May we all live our lives planting, sowing of the Spirit, so that we may reap eternal life. Thank you for listening today. There may be someone here that need to render obedience unto the Lord. We can pray with you. We can pray for you as a child of God. And the promise and the blessing that you have in Christ, if you confess, if you repent and change and turn, you can be forgiven again. If you're not a Christian, you can be baptized into Christ and have every sin washed away. Now determined more than ever to live your life. Stop being deceived. Stop mocking God. Be humble, serving with all of your heart. And look forward to the day that you can hear Him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Brother Kevin's going to come and lead us in a song of invitation. If you need to respond in any way, won't you let it be known right now?
Through 94 in your past.